This is Phil Ferrand. Oh, man. I still don't have this. And I am driving home. I really wish I had a remote control for this thing. I gotta tell you, last week, that was sad having to record that twice. So hopefully this week I'm not gonna push the wrong button. Let me just check and make sure that, in fact, we are still running. We seem to be running good. So we're gonna take this and we're gonna put it here. And now, it's been a good week. It is Thursday. I'm hoping this will be the podcast for this week. Because if it's not, it means I had to re-record. So Thursday, it's Thursday. Been a good week. All is well. Got some good stuff done at work, and we're talking about other projects that are coming up, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all is good there. Writing is going fine. I am on a modified writing schedule at this point because I looked at my schedule, looked at the costume stuff, looked at what was going on, you know, with all my other responsibilities, and I thought, you know, I got started writing on this sprint a little bit ahead of schedule, which means that I have an extra week. And that means if I needed to spread my writing a little bit to give myself a little more time, I can do that. So I had 30,000 words left to do, and normally that would be 3 weeks. But since I had 4 weeks, I just went ahead and dropped my word count down to 7,500 words a week. And so last week I was able to accomplish that. And this week I'm on track. Everything should be fine with that, so all is well. All is well. I'm on chapter 14, I think, 14 of book 22, and that seems to be going fine. I think the pieces are setting up. I think the pieces are setting up for where I need to be on book 22. And I'm looking to see. Okay, yes, here we are. There's a major road closing here. And so I just need to take a little detour down this road, maybe. We'll try. So I think all the major pieces are setting up for what I need to accomplish in this book and then in the subsequent 2 books that will be available. Still need to get everybody their hero moment to get everything finished up. But I'll have 2 books to do that, so I think that will be okay. And then we'll be done with this series, which seems incredible. It just seems incredible. So I'm looking forward to being done, but I'm also looking forward to finishing up these last 2 books because it should be fun, and hopefully I can finish saying the things that I wish to say in this series, albeit in an earthy and gritty way. Uh-oh. Things are happening. Okay. Went by, and now we can get caught up. Anyway, so all is well there. If you think about it, you might say a prayer for Dustin tomorrow. He is taking his entrance exam for paramedic training tomorrow, so I told him we'd be praying. And all that seems to be going fine and well, so we don't anticipate that there's going to be any problems, but you know, oh, here comes somebody else. So we're just going to have to just stay where we are. You might want to get out of the way. Here we go. Yep. Okay. So, interestingly enough, the person to my right, there was a lane where they could have pulled over, but they just stopped right beside me and blocked the ambulance. So, I guess they were worried about being forced into taking a right turn at the light. But the ambulance just went over into the other lane, so everything was fine. Costumes are going fine. I am moving towards what's going to be a sprint to get time traveler costume done, but I have 4 weeks, and I think I know what I'm doing, and I think I know what all the pieces are. I don't quite have all the pieces, but I think we're gonna be okay. We'll see. I think we're gonna be okay. So I need a few supplies here and there, and I'll get some of those tomorrow. And I have a lot of the supplies, and I'm trying to figure out where I've actually overbought at this point and where I've underbought and what needs to be caught up and getting all that figured out. I did order the pieces to build an infinity mirror, and I think I know what I'm doing with that, so we'll just see. We'll just see how this goes. It's all very interesting. And it's all, you know, it's all fun. It's just fun, artsy, crafty stuff. So I like it. So that's all fine and dandy as well. So I think that's it. So we got work, we got writing, we got costumes. It's good. Played with a little electronics with the costumes this week, and everything seemed to fall together. I did have one little problem where I hooked up the first chip and it was supposed to be controlling some lights, and there weren't nothing happening. I'm like, okay, this is fundamentally not that hard. It's 3 connections. Well, as it turns out, the video I was watching was referring to something as pin 2 or channel 2, and I took that to mean pin 2. And it wasn't data pin 2, it was data pin 4, but I watched another video and they said, oh yeah, if you're doing channel 2, it's actually pin 4 by default. So it's like, oh, okay, well, alrighty. So we'll just take care of that. So once I made that switch, then everything kind of powered on and boom, we were off to the races. It's really, they've done a fascinating job with this WLED, it's called. So it's a technology to control LEDs, and really done a great job. You can download this WLED down into a little chip that costs you $5, and then you can hook it up to LED lights and control LED lights with it. And it's got its own built-in Wi-Fi antenna, and so you just connect it to your home system, and then you can control it through your phone if your phone is on the same system, and lots of nice things. So I will actually, hopefully, be able to have multiple of these set up in the time traveler costume to kind of give a little backlighting and pulsing lights and all that sort of thing. And from my phone, be able to control it all. And the other thing WLED can do is I can connect up to all those different things, and then I can say sync. And then anytime I load a control with any type of lighting effect, it will iterate out through all the other controls. So if I have like 5, 6, 7 segments, I can just have it go to fade and all the segments will go to fading. So that's pretty cool. They've done a really, really nice job. So I think have to get a few more rechargeable batteries and power upscalers, but that's all a matter of just ordering them and hooking them together and doing the thing. So I think all that's going to be fine. Anyway, so this week I came across an article. It's not a documentary, but it's an episode of, it's independent journalism, which I really like. And this independent journalist's name is Johnny Harris. And, you know, he funds himself through Patreon and some of those things, and they investigate different stories, and he reports on these stories, and, you know, a lot of interesting things. And he has an interesting perspective, so he, I would not call him a conservative, but that's fine, because he has a lot of interesting perspectives, and it's interesting to see how he approaches it based on what is apparently his default mindset towards things. So I came across this article called The Deep State Explained that he had done, which is a YouTube video, but it's called The Deep State Explained by Johnny Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S. And I thought, oh, this should be interesting. And it was a well-researched, a very interesting and clear portrayal of the deep state. I know I have talked to people in the past when I've mentioned the name deep state, and they all just, they scoff and say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. But, you know, it's really not. It's... And when you watch an episode like this, where it's looking at the history of where such a thing as we call the deep state might be based and how it got started, it all makes perfect sense. Now, his definition of the deep state is restricted to pretty much intelligence agencies. But it's not hard to see how these same principles could be applied and could be expanded to include all of the executive branch. I mentioned that I heard Vivek Ramaswamy talk about the fact that there are 4 million employees. I believe when he said that, he meant in the executive branch, with all the different departments and et cetera, and they answer to the president, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's a lot of people. And it's certainly a lot of people who would view the presidency as just a temporary worker, and we're the ones who actually keep the wheels on the cart. And so therefore, if we get a president in, and he's saying things that we don't like, well, we'll just ignore him, or we'll sabotage him, or we'll do whatever. So this specifically is dealing with the intelligence agencies. And what was interesting is that it opened up with a bunch of different political actors talking, and then apparently one of his researchers was talking to Johnny and saying, I'm having a really hard time wrapping my head around this story, I must admit it. And says, yeah, this concept of a deep state has been, I think, poisoned by politics, and Trump is sort of using it for everything that he doesn't like, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I think it kind of makes it hard to approach it earnestly, but I think we have to keep digging, like there's something here, is the deep state real? And so that's sort of what this is about. He starts off by talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis. So, Cuban Missile Crisis, they realize that there have been missiles installed on Cuba, 130 miles away from the United States, and they're launch ready. And so, as it turns out, when Kennedy finds all this out, JFK, that evening he has a dinner party that he doesn't cancel because he's going to Georgetown, because the dinner party he's going to Georgetown is where all the true movers and shakers are. So even back then, there were people who had power in government who were not elected officials, and Kennedy knew that there was going to be a whole bunch of them at this dinner party, and so he went there. So in Georgetown, there were people like William Kobe, Colby, who was the Far East chief of the CIA, would later become the director. Chip Brown, a former ambassador to the Soviet Union. Alan Dulles, he's the CIA's longest-running director, living in Georgetown. Frank Wisner, one of the founding officers of the CIA. He lived just blocks away. Felix Frankfurter, a Supreme Court justice, just a couple of minutes walks away, etc., etc. So JFK keeps his dinner and probably talks to people. So there's that. You know, and he comments about this article that, but here in Georgetown, it had moved beyond anything the designers of the country could have predicted into a shadowy, separate part of government, a deep state that was actively blackmailing Congress and working to undermine the President of the United States and being horrifyingly successful at it. This was the 60s. So it was already in place in the 60s. And, for instance, J. Edgar Hoover apparently had a black file on lots of people, and he used that. You know, so when we talk about deep state, we're talking about unelected deep state operatives who divide the voters to push their own agendas. And it's interesting, at that point, they inserted a quote from Chuck Schumer video clip where Chuck Schumer was talking about Trump criticizing the deep state, and Chuck Schumer's response was, you take on the intelligence community and they have six ways from Sunday at getting back from you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, the article is saying, he's really dumb to do this. Okay? So can you say the deep state isn't real? Well, apparently there's something going on there. Anyway, so where did this deep state come from? Well, you go back to World War II. There really wasn't things like the CIA back before World War II. But in World War II then, people decided, there was a group that decided you really need a wartime intelligence. And so that was the OSS, spy agency. Okay, so they got the OSS going. And they just had all kinds of ideas as to how they would, win the war for the United States. One guy decided that, well, if we could just make sure that Hitler watches a bunch of porn, he'll get depressed. And somebody else said, let's strap bombs to bats, then release them in Tokyo. I mean, they had all these ideas as to how they were going to use covert intelligence stuff to get this done. And a lot of it was successful. So people were skiing into Germany, into Nazi-occupied Norway, you know, to gin up a resistance there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So you've got the OSS. And so now you get through the war. And at that point, you know, you get to Harry Truman. So here's Harry Truman, according to this documentary, doing the right thing, signing a piece of paper that says that the OSS can no longer exist because there's peace. I mean, Harry Truman was freaked out, they said in this documentary, or this episode. He's like, this was really a great to help us to win the war, but it's way too much power in the hands of unelected officials holding secret information. But it was kind of too late. Putting the genie back in the bottle would prove to be an impossible task. Is it significant that all these guys live four blocks from each other in Georgetown? It's very significant because they're all a part of wartime culture. So there is one party, et cetera, et cetera. We were at peace, but then almost immediately tensions started to rise between Russia and us. had been allies to defeat the Nazis, but now they were skeptical of each other. So you got Russia coming up, and senators started declaring that it was impossible to know where war begins and ends. And the Soviet and its agents destroyed, according to them, a whole series of independent and democratic characters of countries in Eastern Europe and in Central Europe. And now all the people that are the intel that had run the OSS, they start calling for the resurrection of something like the OSS, a centralized intelligence agency to use to fight the global war with the Russians. And of course, you know, because everybody was afraid, the lawmakers then said, look, you know, the Constitution wasn't designed for this, too much power, but, you know, just take care of it. We don't want to, you know. So, you know, people were saying military leaders and their insatiable appetite for money, for more power and more men, whatever costs the democracy, but Truman changed his mind. And what changed Truman's mind was the growing confrontation with the Soviet Union. Papers get signed, new agencies form, an agency is formed, the Central Intelligence Agency. But Truman, when he signed the National Security Act, he actually said, we have to be careful that we don't have an American Gestapo. So we have to... Just a second, let me get some light on here. I just came out of the sunshine. I can't see my papers. So anyways, Truman says, when he signs the National Security Act, he says, we have to be careful that we don't have an American Gestapo. So the thought, Gestapo, so the thought was still on his mind. The CIA was the big shiny new weapon of the United States in the Cold War, and their mission was to, quote, gain and distribute intelligence and to perform, quote, other functions and duties related to the intelligence affecting national security. So what does that mean? And according to this article, everybody knew what that language meant. Everybody knew that that was, and we're not just talking, going to talk, but because we didn't write it down on paper, like, what do they do with this vague mandate of national security? Well, they go to town. Okay. So now you stir together the agreements and your chocolate cake, it's tonight's show, et cetera, et cetera. And so then... Then the CIA starts doing all kinds of stuff. Operation Paperclip, 1945-59. The Americans wanted to get those Nazi rocket scientists on their side so that they could develop their own rocket capacity. So the CIA went and did that. Italian elections, 1948. America puts its thumb on the scale on Italian democracy to make sure that the Allies win. Operation Ajax, coup in Iran, 1953. The CIA and the M16 organize a coup to overthrow the democratically elected government. Now we encourage the Shah to take the action, you know, et cetera, et cetera. CIA coup, Guatemala, 1954. That one was over bananas. Bananas. Again, democratically elected government reformists wanted to engage in land reform, and the CIA overthrows it at the behest of the United Fruit Company. So, it's helping American corporations. Early 1960s, CIA coup in Chile, assassination operation against General Schneider, 1970s, mind control experiments, MK Ultra, LSD, truth serums, Bay of Pigs. Okay? Hundreds of assassination plots. Bill Colby, who was later director, eventually admitted that the CIA had killed 20,000 people. Operation Mockingbird. COINTELPRO, Operation Chaos, Watergate, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Coup in Indonesia, coup in Greece, Guatemalan Civil War, crime spree for 20 years. They say in this article, there's no other way to describe it. So by 1970s, CIA is this powerful, well-funded machine of intelligence that's doing a lot of secret things around the world. They start blackmailing lawmakers to scare them away from investigating them and reining them in. Those agencies had harmful personal information on lots and lots of people. So they talked to a guy. He said, when I was doing my Angleton book, a guy told me one day that when he went to meet Angleton, Angleton quoted back to him what he had said to his wife in bed the night before. So they had the capacity. They had knowledge. Okay. You know, Truman publishes an article in the Post that says the CIA should be abolished. Okay, so eventually, this all leads to the church hearings. And they have the church hearings where they say, this is not good, you know, CIA is too powerful. They start talking about all the plots and assassination plots and the way they're spying on Americans, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they're doing the other. And they actually sent a letter. COINTELPRO is the name for an effort by the Bureau to destroy people and destroy organizations, or as they use the words, disrupt and neutralize. The Bureau went so far as to mail an anonymous letter to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife, quote, King, there is only one thing left for you to do. You know what it is. You just have 34 days in which to do it or you're done. This was taken by King to mean a suggestion for suicide. Okay. But through, and as part of this church hearings, it came out that the CIA had 400 journalists being paid under an operation called Operation Mockingbird. So this business of trying to control the flow of information is nothing new. Shouldn't surprise us at all that the CIA and the FBI and the NSA were having conversations with social media companies, are probably still having conversations with social media companies, telling them who they want banned, telling them what stories they want pulled down, telling them what needs to be suppressed, telling them what needs to be enhanced. Okay, they've been doing this for decades. Okay. And the CIA, the whole time, is they're, you know, submitting budgets to Congress and telling them, we want this much money. And Congress is like, okay. You know, don't tell us what you're doing. We don't want to know. So, but with the church committee, there were all bunches of new kinds of oversight that came in, regulation come in, and then new committees are formed. And then, you know, you do kind of rock it back for a little while. And, of course, Church gets accused of, you know, being a KGB agent, but, you know, things rock back a little bit. And then the next thing that happens is 9/11. And so now you come forward, 9/11, now everybody's upset, and guess what happens? Well, the CIA is there to save us from all this. What should be interesting to note is that after 9/11, when they passed the Patriot Act, there were these sweeping infringements on right to privacy. And, I mean, just, they authorized so much stuff. And we wouldn't really know that they were doing all those things without Edward Snowden. So Edward Snowden actually did us a favor by exposing how much these intelligence agencies were just vacuuming up. Just vacuuming up. And so what happens? Well, people get elected. They come in, they think they're going to do these sweeping changes, and then they discover, oh, well, no, I guess I'm not, because there's all these agencies that are actually controlling the power. So does the deep state exist? Yes. Do we need a deep state? Well, that's a question. Do we need a deep state? And I would submit to you that provided we were a godly nation, we wouldn't need a deep state. I'll just give you a quick example. I know I've used this example before, but it bears repeating. Okay, so 9/11 comes along, and everybody's hair is on fire, and everyone's afraid. And everyone starts saying things like, how could God let this happen? Which, of course, if you can't count on God, then you have to count on the deep state. But I knew when I was writing Still Whispers, I knew that if I did a little bit of investigation, what I would find is that Jesus was talking to people who had the capability to stop 9/11, and they were either ignored or they ignored what they saw coming. And I document this in Still Whispers, and in fact, it's right in the It's right in the transcripts for the commission that was formed after 9/11 to see what happened. And the most important thing was, as far as I'm concerned, not that, well, all the intelligence agencies need to talk to each other more. That wasn't the most important thing. The most important thing was the whole thing could have been stopped. Because you had Arabic people attending flight school saying things like, I don't need to learn how to land. I just need to learn how to fly the plane. Coming in with suitcases of cash. And there was enough awareness of this that I think it was Minneapolis, the head of the Minneapolis office for the FBI was getting really concerned about this. And he was trying to get a FISA warrant to get into a laptop of one of these guys who was attending flight school. And that laptop had enough information in it that they could have stopped the whole plot. And his FISA warrant kept getting stalled. He kept amping up the rhetoric in his emails. And finally, he got a call from somebody in Washington saying, look, you're just stirring up trouble here. You're just amping up this rhetoric. What in the world are you trying to accomplish with all this, you know, explosive and I've completely lost the word, rhetoric and, you know, emotion-infused stuff. And this guy says on the phone to this FBI committee, if I were a person at the FBI, he says on the phone to him, according to his own testimony, and it's right in the documentation for the 9/11 Commission report, I'm trying to stop someone from hijacking a plane and flying it into the Twin Towers. And that was like in August or July before the attack in September. So if you are a nation dedicated to God, you don't need an intelligence agency. Because God's going to find a way to let you know when there's trouble. And in fact, the first type of government that God ever created was, in essence, an anarchy. Everybody just had their own plot of land. They all did what was right in their own size. When there was a threat, God rose up a prophet. That prophet put out the call. Everybody comes together. They go beat the enemy. Then everybody goes back to their homes. And everything is dissolved and they go on. There's no military industrial complex, you know. There's none of that. Because God takes care of it. He takes care of it. But if you can't rely on God, then you have to rely on people who are fallible. Oh, just a second. This is my beloved. Hold on a minute. Hi, sweetie. Someone called and left a message. Is there trouble?
I couldn't understand what happened. I couldn't understand what Tina was saying, but something happened and said it might be difficult for him to go to Spark. I don't know if he was not feeling well or something happened and he was upset or
whatever. Okay, I'll give them a call real quick.
Okay, you give him a call and I thought, well, I'll just go by and get him, but I'm in my van. I don't have a car.
That's fine. I'll go get him. Okay.
Yeah, give her a call and find out.
Okay.
Then, you know, you just leave after work.
Okay. All right. Bye. Okay, just a second. Let me see if I can put... Well, let me just finish this up because we've got plenty of time here. So anyways, that's that deep state. It's very interesting. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.